This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I was in Montreal recently and had a chance to visit the offices of iGotcha, a digital signage and experiential media solutions company that has very quietly built up a nice book of business since launching in 2005. Working out of an old warehouse building overlooking the historic Lachine Canal, iGotcha worked with everyone from banks and a lottery corporation to Cirque du Soleil. I caught up with Kyle Pilot, one of the co-founders and the longtime CTO. He now runs the company with longtime business partners Greg Adelstein and Hadrian Bissou. In this chat, we get into what they do, who they work with, and get on a fairly lengthy riff about the merits of technology like system-on-chip displays. Well, thank you for having me here. I have never been to your offices. It's a pretty cool place, old building. What did it used to be?
Yeah, it used to be a big factory for Cabbage Patch Kids and those old Coleco toys and incredible old...
Well, it couldn't have been built as a Cabbage Patch Kids.
No, originally it was probably in the manufacturing of materials and that kind of stuff. And they had looms and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a really cool tech space here, whether it's tech or whether it's agency. It's a good mix of people in the building.
And you're down, what, about 15 minutes out of downtown?
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes. We can...
The subway comes out here, and I was in the Uber ride and went right by Joe Beef's restaurant.
Yeah, the food around here is awesome.
Yeah, and the Atwater Market's right there, so...
Yeah, we take advantage of that.
Is that a draw for hiring people that you're out this way?
It is a little bit. I'd say, I don't know, we've got a lot of foodies in our, whether it's expats or you name it, got a lot of employees that... like the space, like being near the canal, and I know that there's Montreal per se is such a great tech hub, of a good pull of people from whether it's Moment Factory one side or gaming guys on the other. So we kind of draw from all those different niches and try and build from that.
When I've done interviews with Montreal people, I always ask them, what is it about Montreal that there seems to be such a high percentage of highly creative companies?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not sure what it is, except that just it's bubbled up from the people and the creative and the art and the idea that, I don't know, downtown Montreal has a district that's dedicated to arts and culture, and the amount of investment that the government puts into art and cultural in digital spaces is huge. And so the infrastructure just needed to do it, and the schooling and the programs associated with that kind of naturally lend itself to whether it's artist technology mixing together and then naturally amplifying itself with big companies that have such success worldwide.
Now, I've known you guys for a bunch of years. I think it's reasonable and not unfair to say you're not all that well known in the broader ecosystem. Pretty certainly well known in the Montreal area. How long have you been around?
So 2005 is when we started off. We're starting up, creating our own digital signage network in cafes, and we built out our own kind of
network. Digital out-of-home network?
Exactly. Yeah, digital out-of-home network.
Another one trying that.
Interactive. And then we realized, you know, the software we're building to drive it was way more valuable. And then we piggybacked on a pretty big program to roll out screens all across Quebec and IGAs, Sobeys. And so we did a massive rollout at the time. I think it was one of the biggest rollouts of its times in 250 stores across Quebec.
And this was
And this is kind of 2006-07,
shortly after, I guess.
It was right after we kind of pivoted a little bit to be pure digital signage and started really focusing on software and really the turnkey part of it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, we clearly built our system from the ground up and own our software. And so with that lends itself really well to going to clients and understanding what their needs are, mm-hmm. knowing what data they have, and then moving towards kind of figuring out what other tools and tech we can give them
right.
to then get their message across in a digital signage way. And so with that, you know, ownership in full control over the system, we can then tailor a solution to them in a much cleaner and effective way.
Right. So it was you and Greg Adelstein who started
it? Yeah. And there was a guy, Michael Turney. All three of us kind of started it at the beginning. And
Michael.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he actually passed away.
I remember that.
Early on. And
he's playing hockey.
Exactly. Yeah. And we kept it going and built it up from there. It was a really strong beginning that us three kind of built. And really from there, I guess it...
That must have been a big moment when that happened.
It was really tough, for sure.
Was that a real crossroads for you guys? Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. It was actually kind of right at the moment where Sobeys was going to become a big sort of project or not. Mm-hmm. And so all
Sobeys is a grocery store in Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. Sobeys and IGA, exactly. And it was something where we were kind of like, okay, we really have to put feet to the pavement and make this happen, because mm-hmm. you know, like, Michael was one of our incredible sales guys that just was able to sell everything, tell the story, really kind of lay it out.
Yeah, it's funny you were saying that before we turned the mic on, that you and Greg are terrible at biz dev, so he was your guy.
Yeah, and so we lost him, and suddenly had to find a way to kind of make it happen anyway. Yeah. And it turned out we were able to build out the team, kind of roll out kind of software to kind of a wide variety of clients. Like, our next big client was National Bank, and that was one of our larger clients. And so we've got everything from banking to transport to retail, like, and it's kind of an interesting kind of mix right now that we're at this point in time, where we've got clients on one end, which is Cirque du Soleil, who are kind of really trying to push the limits of what our software can do and have a system which can control everything from the lighting to the sound to the digital signage, and all on a cue on a button where you press it in the whole environment.
So it's like show controls.
Yeah, show controls, but on a digital signage framework. And so we use our digital signage base and schedule things and allow, like, it be really easy to change menus, to be they're out of popcorn, they flick a button. They change different elements on it, and the digital signage side of things.
So this would be at their shows in permanent facilities and their traveling ones as well?
It's all around the world. All their tents that need kind of everything from their concession to their F&B to their VIP area, because we actually started in the VIP area where they wanted really innovative kind of cutting edge solutions with interactive tables, with crazy LED lights, with kinetic elements. So anyway, that was kind of where we are starting. Well, not starting, but we're kind of on one side,
right?
Is the extreme of Cirque du Soleil, and then maybe you've got National Bank on the other side, which
a little more staid.
Yeah, exactly. But what's neat about them with all of these is that we try and figure out what pieces of data we can gather.
Yeah,
it's like that the max amount of data we can, and then where we can add in, because we love kind of gaze tracking. We love kind of getting data from the Wi-Fi on your phone to know heat mapping of where people are. We love kind of...
Are you doing that yourself, or are you integrating other platforms?
We integrate. So we have that base digital signage platform where we're kind of developing plugins more and more to build in the best of the best.
So you've API'd
into
the hell out of the thing.
Exactly, yeah. And so therefore we can kind of quickly kind of tag into those and make smarter content.
Right.
Like, we really want to innovate in the space of automation, AI. So the actual content is at the very basic level, just changing because someone's in front of it or there's a different set of people in front.
Right.
To the more advanced side of things, which we're really pushing for. And it's harder to get the client to have enough content or whatever, but having the content dynamically change and evolve on its own is our real goal.
Yeah.
And with all those tools that we're tying in to our core software, we're getting there. And that's where our lab is really kind of having a lot of fun, and where we kind of spend a little time with our clients coming in, showing them the cool tech that we have, and finding things which really fit the client, yeah. as opposed to kind of like thinking, I'm this big Scala, or I'm this big digital signage standard stable company that's never going to change, but will give you a yeah. really damn good solution. We're going to try and innovate in your direction as your right. client. Mm-hmm.
And when did you have that sort of realization that data was the thing? Because I've been talking about this for years and years and years, and there's some companies that have been doing data for a long, long time, but it seems like there's any number of companies, this light bulb just went off in the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually something we've been doing for a long time, but really under the radar. Mm-hmm. And only in the past few years that it's really been coming to the fore, in terms of mainly because clients just don't have the time, energy, and amount of content
yeah.
to be able to make it happen.
Yeah.
And seeing the true value to it. And because the reality is that we just want to make incremental small changes to the content.
Right.
And see what the feedback is, to see what works and what doesn't work. And so, like, on the flip side of things, like, so that's like pure digital signage, mm-hmm. right? On the interactive side, it's a little different, because we're all used to kind of surfing the web, and consumers are getting more and more educated when they're coming into the door, and the Amazons of the world are kind of taking over on yeah. the online world. But they're starting to realize that, you know, retail's still there, and you can't just live online. And so when you come into the retail space,
yeah.
you got a different client, and that client is expecting so much more. And so we want to give clients an interactive experience, which is way more engaging than just a website. It's like where you're actually putting an object on the table and moving things around and giving user feedback based on who's in front of the screen, like what objects are being placed on the screen. And that's kind of where the mix of Circ and banking comes in, is like the extreme of having crazy interactive tables where you're placing different things on the table, and either on the banking side, like different kind of financial products kind of pop up, and you kind of engage yeah. people in a cooler interactive way, mm-hmm. versus, I don't know, Circ side where fire and flames and funky stuff is coming up on the screen. So it's like the data-centric side on pure digital signage, where yeah. all you have is a screen, mm-hmm. we love. But we also love the interactive side, because we see a huge potential in that educated customer, like who's like slowly moving away from the malls and all that kind of stuff, and try and bring them back in
right.
to educate them in a cooler, funkier way. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
And you've done some stuff, I remember, I think it was with Kudo.
Yeah, interactive windows.
Yeah, and I think you did some stuff on subway platforms
exactly.
and things like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Some of that I called stupid people tricks, just because you're trying to get people to do things. What have you learned about interactive in terms of what works and what's just too much and only really works if you've got like street teams right there to guide them and say, now go over here and do this?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because you know, at the end of the day, the event marketing part of iGotcha, because we have a core is really digital signage, but the yeah. event marketing is a really interesting place where...
So that still exists.
It does still yeah. exist, because that's where our lab, our innovation and whatever is, and which we kind of try and tie in the crazy stuff that does work long term into the digital signage. And so to answer your question, it's kind of the stuff that sticks is... when you're being true to the product, you're telling them something that they don't already know, mm-hmm. and that it's in a memorable way. Mm-hmm. And so, sure, can in event marketing, chances are, to make it as effective as possible, you kind of still need a street team. You still need people to kind of tell the story in an engaging way.
Create some buzz so people see that this is going on, so they come over and then they want to try.
Exactly, yeah, to walk them through
yeah.
the slightly more kind of fly a kind of cool thing that you've just showed them that's attracted them to yeah. the booth. Because we have just a boatload of crazy ideas that kind of attract people to
sure.
the booth or to the store, to the phone or whatever. And it's really the street team that then kind of gets them to do the engaging piece. And we try and stick to our kind of core of attract someone to the booth, tell them a story, get them to to understand the product and then pull them back to an actual store if they can't buy already, mm-hmm. and then track that in a way which then you can kind of see some sort of return on investment. Mm-hmm. And that tracking of the customer journey, I think, is also really key. And that goes back to the data analytics and the reporting right. that we can do. It's something which we believe is really strong to have that full circle to get you all the way back to the store and not just have a really cool event, which is just got some buzz and maybe gets on some
It's a press release or, and yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we wins an award.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the awards are nice, and it's neat to tag in with an agency that's really good at applying to the awards. But at the end of the day, our true value is if we can drive people back to the store
right.
and make a sale.
And, you know, there's a lot of talk about insights from Wi-Fi sniffing and from gaze tracking and all those sorts of things. I suspect it's very attractive to retailers and maybe to some brands as well. At the selling stage and the ideation stage, when you generate all those insights, are they actionable ones or more? Let's say they are actionable, but are they being actioned?
Yeah, no, that's another really good question. We just finished an event at Oceaga. There we did.
What's that?
Oceaga is a huge music festival in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
And, Ile Saint-Helene. It's one of the biggest in Montreal's kind of festival summers.
Yeah.
And so they get kind of artists from all over the world. Really cool event. Mm-hmm. Anyway, crap load of people. Bell's a really big sponsor. And anyway, we covered the whole area in Wi-Fi kind of tracking. And
okay.
So we tracked everyone's phone, where they're going, heat mapping, where they're hitting up different points. And it's amazing because, like, on one level, you think it's, I don't know, Big Brother and that kind of stuff. But really, you don't have to do anything. You're not connecting up to any Wi-Fi. Really, you're doing the same thing that access points were doing without you doing anything. But
yeah.
the difference is that Bell now knows, okay, this many people were in this area. And then we're able to actually kind of put data in the context of, is the event that I did that drew people in, did it really draw a whole bunch of people, and how long, and did they move from point A to point B? Because the other data, like whether it's with gaze tracking or other tools, which we love as well, but it can't actually do that. It can't know that you moved from activation A to, let's say, store B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the one thing. At the moment, I think what is being actioned on is the idea of whether an activation is a success or not. It's,
right.
it's at the bare minimum, it's giving metrics that will be kind of actionable, like know whether, okay, we're going to do this thing again
right.
or not. That at the bare minimum, it's that. Growing from that, where we really see it is have some neat campaigns where you know that there are X Telus customers or ex-Bell customers, or there's like a whole bunch of phones in a particular area
right.
and we're going to do some fun campaign on the wall, or on the other side of things, just have something general in terms of, okay, I've got a lot of people in line right now. Now I got to change my content because, you know, I have a different problem.
Right.
My problem is that I've got too many people in line. I want to entertain them as opposed to I've got a few people in line and I need to show a message really quickly.
Right.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So, when you're working with a client, whether it's National Bank or Circ or whoever, are you most typically like a full solutions provider where you can pretty much take them through the whole thing or take on as much as they need you to take on?
We try and be as much as they take on, but the reality is that we've got the NOC. We've got the installation team, we've got kind of the software, we handle everything. Like for National Bank is a perfect example, we handle everything for them.
Yeah.
Everything, A to Z. But that doesn't mean that we don't deal with agencies and resellers,
right.
which are very good with just the whole relationship management and understanding the client better. Mm-hmm. And so that understanding the client better is something that we hold in high esteem, and we can't know all clients and whatever really well. And so that's where agencies and other resellers come in and really kind of take that first job and really pass on the puck a little bit.
Right.
So in terms of what we do, it's pretty clear in terms of that we're a software company, but the reality is that we want to make sure that the whole solution from A to Z is taken care of.
Right.
And the number one goal of uptime being 100%, 99% of the time, and having those kind of alerts, having the dashboard that's able to see all your entire network as like a Google Maps kind of feel, where there's red light, green light,
sure. Having
easy tools.
But you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I would imagine your game isn't really, let's say, the small church in Northern Ontario that needs three licenses and they're going to run the thing themselves. There are other software providers who do that sort of thing.
The only way where that would actually happen is normally in a reseller, or if someone just happens to call us and show them where the license is.
Right.
And so we don't say that there's no reason for us to say no to a license if they just want to do it on their own. The software is ready and it's great to work on its own. But in terms of the bulk of our clients are networks, which need a turnkey solution to a certain degree,
right,
and a certain handholding where we want to customize the solution to them.
So who would be a typical reseller? Because I wasn't really thinking about you guys having resellers.
Yeah. Well, it's everything from companies in Toronto that sell LED screens. Okay. There like, happens to be like Media Resources is a nice company in
Down
Toronto,
helpful,
which,
yeah.
which
yeah.
They, we've got hundreds of screens with them that's out of home advertising, LED billboards on the side of the road, to banking, to you name it, on one side. And then there's others that I really, that the point of the reseller is that I don't disclose it to you. And we white label, and we kind of create a system which they seem like they have their own software. And they're for a full turnkey software house.
So you're the tech side of the equation between you and Greg, and I bumped into you at ISE and over in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I imagine you were trolling around looking at all the latest bells and whistles and displays and everything. You've talked a lot about data and the emergence of that, and I would imagine one really valuable thing is how important data now is to so many companies and how it's exposed now and available. Are there software and hardware aspects of this industry that over the last couple of years that have kind of excited you or that is now just starting to emerge?
What I find interesting is the amount of data that is coming out of the woodwork, whether it's on one end, like loyalty programs, we're partnering up with different loyalty guys, that freebies for one, that is able to know specific data about, like, knowing that you are a golfer and you like this type of golf.
You're a bad golfer.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And so, like, having really targeted data that has to do about your interests on one side, and then on the other side, knowing that the whole heat mapping stuff and being able to fit it together. So what excites me on one level is the idea of just having way more data to play with and actually to do something actionable, and to be able to do it on like an SOC screen, which whether it's LG or others that have kind of a beacon built in, have Wi-Fi and all that stuff, so I can do most of this stuff just by plugging in a network cable in the back.
Yeah.
And we also obviously like to be kind of somewhat hardware agnostic, and so we're kind of building our player for kind of as many platforms as possible. But that's on one side that excites me, the data that can be used in so many new ways. But also, like, generally, like, SOC is something that we find interesting from the standpoint that you can do like video on demand so much easier than you could before. Like, we're developing tools or have rolled out tools where you don't need special buttons or whatever. You just pick up the LG remote and you can do video on demand. You have your standard digital signage loop, but then you want to do educational or video on demand. You just pull out the regular LG remote and press 1, 2, or 3, and it goes onto different channels, different loops that are digital signage, that are kind of educated stuff pushed by head office, controlling the message, but allowing people to learn with an extremely simple, cheap solution that has an incredibly high uptime because there's only one box and you put a network cable in the back and there's no buttons, there's no
nothing to break.
Yeah. So we're a huge fan of SoC on one level. But that being said, you know, like a lot of the big players, National Bank included, they do love Windows. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes hard to break that.
Their IT departments have grown up on that.
And so Windows still is a big part of our business kind of thing, but it's slowly changing. And I guess one of the other things that's nice, because we deal with bigger and bigger video walls. Mm-hmm. And for video walls, SoC is like a perfect scenario, because like just build out more TVs.
You can daisy chain them. And
more video walls, and we don't have to have a bigger and bigger computer. So yeah.
I was talking to a guy who's now gone over to an integration company. He was selling hardware for the last several years, digital signage hardware. And he said, it's just so hard now to sell hardware, media player hardware. It's, everybody wants to know about system-on-chip players or displays, or they want to know about Brightsign boxes or maybe IDEA boxes. Yeah. But to sell a Windows box or a Linux box, just
it's hard.
Tough.
Yeah, no, it is a tough sell. You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it doesn't mean we're not selling them, and we don't believe that on one level they have pretty damn good uptime and a good feature set. But the reality is that whether it's BrightSign, and we support them as well, they're pretty damn good boxes. But if you can, I think SoC is just a natural fit, just from less pieces, and you know, like the amount of time that people spend setting up media players. Mm-hmm. The amount of pieces that can fail on a media player, the network cable, you name it, it just all adds up. Mm-hmm. And for us in terms of support, because we have to support these things, and we need to kind of think about these things long term, a lot of our networks are kind of like 3-year plus kind of contracts where if something goes wrong, well, it's partly on us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to steer all this conversation around SoC, but I was talking to another guy who runs a company that does similar things to you, Western US. And he was saying that their level of trouble calls, field maintenance calls, dropped like a boulder when they went to SoC, just because there weren't HDMI cables that would come loose and all these stupid little things that can happen.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Mm-hmm. It's that you've got a whole bunch of other modules, in a way, that are built into the TV and things that you can add into it that don't add a huge amount of failure points. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it's a simple thing like lift and learn, I was showing in our showroom, we have an existing piece of hardware that's used for security for phones that we tap in directly into the TV. And so we can do kind of complex lift and learn with an SoC TV. We can do RFID or cameras or you name it, all within SoC.
Whereas before you needed some sort of intermediary box and maybe something custom designed, right?
Yeah, or a really powerful computer, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
Like an expensive computer, something that can fail, that has a lot of fans, and something that's very likely to fail at some point.
And a much bigger footprint on at a shelf level in a store, which is not good.
Yeah, and like the high demand clients like Cirque that tour around, things fail so much faster. Yeah. Like everything fails 10 times faster.
Torn down all the time.
On a show based system. So like at one point we had started with a high powered computer and a big table and that kind of stuff. And it took all of like 3 shows for the whole thing to go completely haywire in terms of, and things that we just didn't think were possible. Like they would rip out the HDMI cables out of the computers and you're just like, okay, I thought you'd be a little more delicate with the computer, but so now just we're a little more conscious of those failure points.
We'll put you on the spot a little bit because you have to be a little delicate here with different clients and all that. What if there was one project that your company is really, really proud of, whether it was ambitious or not, what would that be?
Proud. I mean, there's a lot of projects which we're proud of, and it all depends on kind of how we measure it, because I'm proud of really large rollouts in high speed where it's stable and the client is super happy. Like if large rollouts are fast and it started off with Sobeys to National Bank to Reebok, I'm really proud of those fast rollouts. On a tech side of things, I think a lot of them come down to Cirque du Soleil or maybe some Bell projects. We do a lot of event marketing with agencies that really push the limits. We just did one for Tim Hortons, which was kind of fun, and it was something where We're trying to engage people to know that you can jump the line with their app, and getting people to literally jump when they're at an activation and go through a game experience. And so our gamified department that taking right. like digital signage and bringing it to an event marketing experience and get people really excited, and have our filming team go in and record the event and see so many happy faces.
Yeah.
And have a client kind of saying, like, this is just a kick-ass kind of execution from A to Z. That's what makes us happy in terms of making sure that it's not simply just a big wow, but that all parts of the execution are done perfectly, and that there is no kind of little bit that's left behind. And it's okay. like it was a cool piece of tech, but it just, something didn't work one day.
Right, okay. So people want to know about your company. Where do they find you?
I got you.
Other than the address.
Yeah. Well, we're in Montreal. We're in Toronto. We've done projects all over North America. We've started doing following companies all over the world right now in terms of following other companies that leave. But the reality is our footprint is Canada for now. And you want to come visit us?
I got you media.com.
Okay. I got you media.com.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming by, and it's always a pleasure.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.